Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new The Hacker Factory podcast with hacker maker Philip Wiley. You're about to discover what the role of a professional hacker entails, the different specializations it holds, and what it takes to learn and become one. Enjoy the conversation as Philip and guests unveil the secrets of professional hacking. A mysterious, intriguing, and often misunderstood occupation. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Hello, and welcome to episode one of the Hacker Factory. I'm your host, Philip Wiley. I have a passion for teaching and mentoring aspiring pen testers, and this show is an extension of those efforts. I love giving talks at conferences on becoming a pen tester. I am the co-author of the book, The Pen Tester Blueprint, which teaches people how to become ethical hackers and get a job as a pen tester. And today I'm very happy to welcome my very first guest, Felipe Perez. We've met through several virtual conferences. We're connected through the cybersecurity community. I probably originally met through like the DEF CON Red Team Village and several virtual conferences, so I'm really excited to have Felipe on the show for people to hear his story. He's got a very interesting story. He's very passionate about education and offensive security, and it's awesome to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us, Felipe.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Phil, for this, for having me here, and it's a pleasure to be here to talk with you and to the audience. And yes, I'm talking from Brazil now. My name is Felipe Pires. I was born in Porto Alegre, south of Brazil, but I'm living in São Paulo now. In São Paulo, it's a big city here in Brazil. And in the last year, and actually in 2019, and maybe 2020, I lived in Poland during 1 year. And I made some trips for some countries. And yes, it's an honor to be here. And this is me. I have a big family. I have 4 children and twins, by the way. And I'm so happy to be here and to talk about security, to talk about the hacking, to talk about the offensive and defensive stuff. And, you know, it's a pleasure and honor one more time.
Well, it's great to have you here. So could you share with our listeners how you got started?
It's very interesting because, you know, I was thinking today about this possible question. And, you know, when I was young and I started my life, my work life, actually, as a salesperson, you know, I sell many different products. Like, it's curious because, And when I started to sell the products, I started a kind of package of eggs, you know, package of eggs. Yes. In the neighborhoods, I sell this kind of product. I using, you know, a cat horse, you know, I have this kind. It's very curious because it's my neighborhood in many years ago, but in the, I think it's in 2007, I think, I started to sell another different products with a more technology products, but not actually in technology companies, right? And but in 2009, yes, I started working in Dell Computer as a salesperson, right? I'm not a technical person in the background. It's very interesting because, you know, now I am a researcher, security researcher, and I like to teach in universities and in different spaces and places. And but my background is different. I was a serious person, you know, but in 2009, and when I started to work in Dell Computer, I started to understand more about technology, about CPUs, about the memories, about the disk, you know, hard disks. This is my beginning, my career, when I start to talk. I start to learn a technology. 2 years after, I started to study more about the technical stuff, you know. And my desire in Dell Computers is to develop myself in data center specialist. But I was a salesperson. I needed to, you know, to learn more about the technical stuff. So because of this, I started to study myself on myself. I, you know, made searches in the internet, and you know, to try study and understand more about the technical stuff. And in 2015, I started to work in Trend Micro. And at this moment, I received a good opportunity to know about the security, you know, and this started my new passion. And cybersecurity, it's my passion, you know. I never, you know, go out of this passion, because cybersecurity and it's our always change, you know. During our conversation, probably some guys are, you know, building some malwares, or, you know, developing some malwares or different attacks, or creating new zero days. And it's very interesting. Because of this, I changed for my career to the security.
Yeah, it's always more fun when it's something you're passionate about, you know, because learning, you know, people should be lifelong learners, you know, learning all the time. And especially in security, you have to do that. So it's good that you're passionate about that. And I really like that you're sharing that you came from a sales background, non-technical, because the hopes of this show is for people that are trying to get started to realize, you know, I could do that, because I share my story of being a former pro wrestler and all that, and not really being a person that used my mind for work. And sometimes, you know, people see that when they don't think they're smart enough to do it. And then when they hear stories about people that came from no background in it, you know, someone that didn't go to school, get a computer science degree, or all these other things to get started, you start out as a salesperson and you saw opportunities.
Yeah.
You saw the opportunity there and you pursued it. And that's one of the things that people got to realize, when you know, take advantage of opportunities, because if you don't ask for it or don't try, you may not get that opportunity.
And now I have another interesting thing, because, you know, I passed for the things in my career. I was a salesperson, and now I am a mentor of my brother. My brother lives now in Portugal, and he is studying engineering, computer engineering in a college, right? But he is a waiter, you know, so it's totally different. The background is totally different, but he is studying now language programming, JavaScript language programming, Python language programming. He is studying a computer engineer, you know, in the college. But during the day, he is working as a, you know, a waiter in a restaurant, you know. It's totally different. Yeah. And I'm helping my brother in this time. And I'm learning with him, by the way, because he is studying a lot about the language programming, and he is teaching me and talk about something. It's very interesting. So I would like to share with the listeners, always is possible to learn about everything you want.
And that's good, always sharing, you know, because when you're getting started out, you know, some people think, I don't know enough to share. But, you know, I even learn stuff from people that are absolute beginners, because when they're coming in, they're learning it new, and they may find something that people have been in it longer may have not seen. So you definitely, no matter what level you're on, you want to share. Yeah. And that's a good example of how, you know, people can see how, Felipe, you were self-taught and all this, and your brother's going to school. So there's many ways to do that. So yep. There's no set way. And that's part of the goal of the show, is to show people the different ways to get in. So whenever I got into security, I had worked for like 6 years as a sysadmin, was interested in security. I moved over. I didn't have, you know, a degree in security. And so it's interesting to see the different paths. I mean, one thing to see too, is you don't have to have a degree to get started in security, but it doesn't hurt to have one either.
Yeah, and now, for example, now I am a security advocate at Sysupnovation, right? So I'm responsible to talk about security in many conferences, and to talk about the DevSecOps, and to talk about the some open source products that we producing in our company. And, you know, some people know me about the malware analysis topics that I am talking, and about the the offensive, the red team or offensive topics, for example. But, you know, I think since 2 weeks ago, I start a new project in my life. It's very interesting. I am developing myself as a developer guy, because I want to be a developer guy in three different languages programming, in Python, Go, and C. But okay. I would like to be a developer guy. You know, so I am starting, even two weeks ago, started to study in the beginning of this basis, you know, because it's my new challenge. You know, I would like to learn about the language program, you know. It's not on my background. I know about the security. I know about the malware analysis and other different stuffs. I'm studying about the offensive security and defensive security and threat hunting. But part of my time during the day, I am studying language programming even since the beginning, because I need to learn. And this is my new challenge. You know, maybe I am crazy, probably, but I like it, you know.
Now that's good. You know, some of the best hackers out there, you know how to code. They know how to program. I mean, one example is Byte Bleeder that wrote CrackMapExec. You know, all the really good hackers out there. You know, you look at Harm Joy from Spectre Ops. You know, he writes his own tools. So that's good. That's really the way to progress to the next level. You know, because you know you don't have to be a really good programmer to be a hacker or a pen tester, but it's helpful. But to really progress to the next level, you really have to do that. So as you're learning these programming languages, what are you doing to learn the programming languages? Are you reading? Are you taking different courses, or how are you learning? How's that process?
Yeah, actually, I need to learn something always starting the basis in the beginning. So I'm watching a videos in YouTube, of course, and I am seeing some organizations in Portuguese and in English language, of course. And but I am, you know, of course, I know about the import stuff in the Python, for example. I need to import the some libraries or other things like this. But I am studying, you know, starting the beginning. Understand about the logic, understand about all those stuff. So I'm watching videos and reading papers and reading the books, because we have many materials in the internet. So of course we have a good materials and bad materials. Yeah. So you need to talk about some guys, you know, some friends, and the friends recommended me a good material, and I'm learning. It's very interesting because we always learn something. Even we need to see another, you know, the same subject that you already understand, you always learn something or a new, you know, a new things. It's, for me, it's very interesting. I like this.
Well, that's great. So have you got to do any coding yet, or is it still just reading and watching videos?
Yes, in both of them. I am watching videos and made a code in my, you know, virtual machine. And but you know it's just a basic for now, you know. So calculating some, you know, agings and grades in the school, and even the beginning, since the beginning, you know, I started from the beginning to understand about the some calls that Python use. By the way, I'm studying Python language now, and this is the priority, you know. And I'm seeing the video, and I copy using create my own code, and I probably will publish in my GitHub all those tests, and because I think it's a good path to learn.
Oh, great, that's good. Yeah, that's one of the things I've done over the years. But one of the things that's kind of held me back from progressing is not doing a project, not, you know, going through and trying to come up with a script or something like that. It's just been modifying. So that's a really great skill to have. And so anyone listening, you know, when you're starting out, you know, as Felipe mentioned, you know, he's doing Python. Python's a good one because there's a lot of good libraries out there for writing different Yep. security tools and offensive security tools with Python. There's a lot of tools written in it. And I like that you're you're also going to learn Go, because that's a very popular one too. And I like that it's a portable executable that you can compile it on one operating system and execute it on others. So that's really, really good. So you're also a Hacking is Not a Crime advocate. Could you tell me about the organization and what you do as an advocate?
Yes. When I heard about this awesome project, I was, very excited when I heard about it, because, I think it's because today when you talk about the hacking with the young people, actually, the people like to see the, some tutorials in the internet and putting this tutorial in practical, but the people didn't understand nothing about the basis of the hacking or the security. So when I saw this project, because hacking is a culture, it's a creative mind, So of course, when you talk about the hacking, I talk about the hacking is related to security usually, but you can using this kind of concept in any areas. If you are a developer, for example, you can apply this kind of hacking or this concept in your program. You can build it or build different program applying this kind of hacking mindset inside of this project. So I believe this, and I believe this even many years ago when I saw this project. Man, I need to collaborate with this project, and because in the newspaper and on TV we saw many bad information about the hacking. So when I saw this project, I talked with myself, Felipe, you need to be part of this, and you need to be one of these advocates and spread this information to the community in the US and in Brazil and Europe and around the world, because the people need to understand more about this kind of concept. Hacking is a, it's a creative mind. It's a, it's not a crime, actually.
Yeah, that's great. Great descriptions of that. And so, it's great to have advocates like yourself, because, there's been so much disinformation for so many years. So it's going to take effort to try to help fix that, because, the mission of Hacking is Not a Crime is to help take back the name and show people it's not. I mean, it's like any skill, pretty much anything can be used for bad. And hacking, if it wasn't for security researchers and pen testers, our world would be a lot less secure, if only the bad guys were doing it. So it's not just the bad guys, it's good guys as well. And people, you go way back to what hacking originally was. It was people that were coding, they were writing programs, they were taking products and making it enhancing
exactly
what their capabilities and all sorts of stuff. So it's it's just like when you explain to people, you tell people you're an ethical hacker, because it's hard to explain I'm a penetration tester, because that's even more confusing. But I've had people say, is there such thing as ethical hacker, and say, it's just like anything. Are there ethical people? Yes, there are ethical people. Hackers and people, it's just they mirror each other. There are people that are good people, there are people that are bad people, So
yeah, and when I when I went to Poland, the people ask me, what's your new job in Poland now? And I tell with the people, yes, have you received money to hacking companies? People ask me, what? So how it's possible, receive money to a hacking company? And yes, I need to explain more about my job, And because it's a concept, and it's very interesting, because, for example, my father building houses, here in Brazil. And when I try explain to him about my job, and I explain about the creative mind and mindset, and my father told me, Felipe, if this kind of hacking is a concept, so I am hacking in my area, because I am a creative mind to build the different houses here in Brazil. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
You apply your hacking concept in your area, because you can build in different houses with a different, windows, different doors, different, sizes, whatever. And this is a hacking, this is a concept and a mindset. And of course, many times it's related to security. And of course, but the people need to understand about it.
Yeah, that's good. I think it would draw more people to security to realize that. So that's a good message that you're sending out there. I know you're passionate about security, and so what else are you passionate about?
Man, I have many passions, actually. The first passion is of my family, right? So my family is my principal, and another passion that I have is to play instruments, because I am a church boy. You know, I am a Baptist Christian guy, and when I was 6 years, I started to go to church, and when I was 15 years old, I started to learn for myself to learn about the guitar and electric guitar and drums and keyboards, and I played many different instruments, singer and at church, and I have this passion, by the way, and yes, but when you talk related to the security, you know, everything related to security is my passion, because as I mentioned, every moment are changing, you know, the things are changing.
Yeah, that's great, because, you know, passion can be shared on many levels through different things, because, you know, there's other things that we're all passionate about. And it's interesting to find out about your passion in music. That's interesting. You know, we've been communicating with each other online for a while, and I didn't realize that. So that's pretty cool to get to learn that.
Yeah. And when I was young, you know, I was, you know, a church boy, I use this kind of expression, because I made a theater inside the church. I danced inside the church, hip hop, by the way. And, I played these instruments, and I sing in that church, in a service, you know, during the service. And I learned, and of course, I presented the word of God during the, you know, the service, and, all those things helping me to practice in my, you know, putting all those things in my job, because when I need to explain something to the, you know, to the audience or in some conference, God helping me to explain more things to the audience. You know, it's very awesome for me. I learn a lot when I went to the church and during now, yeah, I go to church. It's on Sunday usually, or, you know, or I'm watching during the pandemic, of course. It's not in person, but just, yeah, you know, in videos and something like that. But because I, you know, it's one of my passions. Jesus is my passion, by the way.
That's good. Actually, we have something in common. I was in the choir of a Baptist church when I was in high school. Yeah. So I grew up in the Baptist church. So I was in the choir. Wasn't all that good at singing and stuff, because I really didn't do it past that. But we got that in common. So that's interesting. So as far as, you know, I know you active in the community. And so I would assume you're doing some mentoring. So how important is mentoring to you? I know you had mentioned you were helping your brother. So do you mentor other people as well?
Yeah, because, you know, I talking during our conversation, I was a serious person. So I know how it's difficult when you try to change your career, you know. And when I was salesperson, when I watching some trainings or technical trainings, I look in the trainer, you know, and I was thinking, man, if I was a trainer, I will try to explain another way, you know. And because of this, when I move my career to the technical stuffs or technical security on, you know, technologies, I understand how is you know, difficult to learn new things in new areas. So because of this, I am talking with many people, you know, behind me. I try to mentoring this kind of people, and you know, doesn't matter, no matter the age, if a young people or old people, I believe you, when you desire to learn something, it's totally possible. Because if I got to do it, any people needs, you know, gets to do it.
Well, that's great. And it seems like too, when you teach and mentor other people, it helps you too. You're able to learn it even deeper, yeah, from having to explain it, because sometimes you just do something and you don't always understand maybe how it works, but if you have to explain it to someone, then it helps.
Yeah, you need to, you know, I like to use this expression. When you need to talk something with some people, you need to translate, you know, I use this expression, translate some subject. This is the big point here, because probably when I explain something to you, you can understand very well. But if I explain to another guy, for example, I need to use another way, different examples, you know, or technical example or non-technical examples. And of course, when you're mentoring something, when you teach something, of course, we always learn.
Well, that's great. So just, you know, because, you know, part of the goal is this show is to help people get started in hacking or pen testing, security research, bug bounty, and all that. That's kind of, you know, we're kind of covering all the spectrums of the field. How would you recommend someone get started? Someone that's wanting to become a pen tester, you know, work in offensive security, be a red teamer. How would you explain the best way to start? What would be your recommendation?
Yeah, first of all, need to study about the base, right? So the people would like to study about the red team or the pen testing, for example, offensive security, people need to understand about all those bases. So I need to understand about the system operations, the networks, then, you know, the software engineering, many things like this. And need to understand, of course, need to study about watching videos and putting practicals, you know, and doing exercise and practical exercise. And on the other hand, it's a good way to start to make a CTFs, a capture the flag, because it's more related with a pen testing or a bug bounty problem. Usually when you find some, you know, flags in a CTF, usually it's very common you put in some techniques in practical and using different, for example, cross-site script, cross-site request forgery, or, you know, another different techniques you can apply. And my recommendation, of course, and one of my recommendations to start using a CTF. We have many CTFs program and for free, and another it's you can pay, you know, not it's cheaper, and it's very interesting, big, you know, very interesting way to follow.
Great advice. Yeah, CTFs are a good way to learn. The hands-on piece sometimes people miss out on, and you have to do it in practice to be able to learn how to use it in the real world.
Yes, of course. And another thing is because it's very interesting field, because, for example, I think it's everyone have, you know, the learning path to learn, you know, for example, probably, I don't know how is your way to learn something, for example, maybe Phil likes to watching videos and read books. Maybe not. Maybe Phil likes, you know, to play the CTFs. So the people needs to find what's the best way to learn, because, you know, it's different for each one, you know.
That's good advice. So, you know, for our listeners, if you're trying one path, if you're reading and it's not working, maybe if you watch videos or listen yeah. to audiobooks, and then try to practice, just try to play around with the tools as you're learning it. So that's great advice. Because we all don't learn the same way. And I think that's what makes school so difficult. You know, some kids going through school when they're young, they're having a hard time, but sometimes it's just the way that they're being taught doesn't really work for their needs.
Yeah, exactly. And my brother, it's the same example I like to use. When I started my college, I was I made process manager at college. And my brother started together with me, but this college, it was online distance, right? And I did my college and I passed, but my brother didn't, because he didn't like with a learning, you know, online videos. My yeah. brother likes to go to in person at college and to see the teachers, you know, the professors, and talking with the colleagues in person. It's, you know, it's a kind of, you know, a learning way, you know, mm-hmm. it's every people needs to find what is the best way to learn.
Yeah, definitely. And the better use you can make of that time when you're learning. So trying to figure that out should be a priority. So we're coming down pretty close to the end of the show. Is there anything you'd like to discuss or share that we didn't talk about?
Yeah, one more time, thank you for this time. Yeah, and I think it's very interesting to talk about the security. I like to talk about security. And one more time, hacking, it's a mindset. It's it's a culture that you can apply in your life, in your in your work. And thank you again for this for having me here. It's a big honor for me to stay here talking with you and to the listeners.
Well, thanks for joining. It's an honor to have you as my first guest of the first episode. So I'm sure everyone's going to love it, and people will be able to relate to that the advice you give. And so that's kind of the goal here. So thanks everyone for joining episode one. We'll have more episodes coming up, more awesome people like Felipe. So thanks for joining us, everyone.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Hacker Factory podcast with Philip Wiley. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share itsbmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.